and welcome to another veterinary team training podcast. My name is Amy Neufeld. I'm both the host and owner of Vet Team Training. Please check out all my other blogs, vlogs, and podcasts at vetteamtraining.com. If you're not aware, I have an online continuing education platform, and if you go to vetteamtraining.com, it will bring you to it. It is the least expensive online continuing education platform, and yes, leadership content will soon be appearing on that website. So please go check it out, vetteamtraining.com. Okay, today we are going to be talking about terminating with empathy. Now, I know that sounds like it's so counterintuitive because, you know, when you terminate someone, should you have empathy? What happens? Are you going to internalize it? Yes, we're most of the time having to terminate for good reasons, but why do we care about empathy? Do we really need it? Isn't going to help protect us a little bit, put a little shield of armor around our emotional self if we simply don't have empathy when we terminate? Well, I'm going to make a huge argument as to why every single termination, you need to be highly empathetic and you need to be terminating with empathy. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. So this podcast is not necessarily for leaders. You may have been terminated yourself and it didn't feel good. And listen, not that terminations feel good, not that getting fired from your job ever feels good, but there's a way that it should be done so that it shows that you have respect for that person as well as empathy for that person. And this is really important because how you decide to fire someone is going to define you as a leader. And how you get actually fired actually can make or break your job for future careers or maybe even your role in veterinary medicine. I have a bunch of stories I'm going to be sharing with you of things not to do. And that has been sort of the catalyst for this actual podcast because tragically, it's one story after another of terrible terminations gone completely awry. So first, let's focus on really how to get it right and then sort of the things you shouldn't do. There are two types of people that come into veterinary medicine that I have found happen to be in large numbers. The first is highly empathetic individuals. After all, we gravitate to this position mainly because we really love animals and we actually have empathy for them. I have the ability to pick myself up, put myself into tiny little dog shoes or kitty shoes, and really, truly understand how they're feeling. Now, don't get me wrong, I can't think like a dog or like a cat. I have no idea what they're thinking. But a lot of the emotion, a lot of the pain and suffering, I take that on. I can see that they're scared at the veterinary hospital. I can see that they're frightened. I can see that they're in pain, and I want to alleviate all of that. And so large empaths tend to gravitate towards this industry. And so it kind of makes sense that when I say, hey, we have to terminate with empathy, you likely probably already have a lot of empathy. However, I have found that when it comes to people that are underperforming in hospitals, that empathy tends to go to the wayside, and that's simply not okay. Now, let me be very clear. There are some people that need to be terminated immediately. Those people are harm to not only your hospital, but to clients and pets. And so these are the people who do physical assaults on anyone. So if you have an employee that does a physical assault on another client, another staff member or pet member, immediate termination. And I would even argue this goes along with someone who is purposely throwing things in your hospital. I mean, that's a physical assault. I don't think veterinary hospitals realize that when you have someone who purposely picks up a syringe, a pen, or a clipboard and flings it at another individual, that is actual assault. Whether or not it makes contact or not, totally doesn't matter sometimes in some state laws. But yet we just go, oh, that doctor was angry or that technician was upset. That is completely inexcusable. We should not be allowing those people to work in our hospital. And yes, I feel very strongly about it because sadly, when I lecture to an audience, let's just say I have 100 people in the room and I say, has anyone ever witnessed someone purposely throwing something at another individual? 70 to 80% of individuals raise their hands. Yeah. Actual assault in a workplace environment, unfortunately, is pretty common in veterinary medicine. We cannot tolerate that. It should be grounds for immediate termination. I do not care if it's the highest grossing doctor. And yes, I understand those of you who are listening to this go, but my owner does this. listen, there's nothing you can do about the owner. They need to get some counseling. They need some other leadership help for sure. They own the hospital. It's not okay. However, you can technically report them because it is a hostile work environment. Nobody should work in a workplace where things are thrown at you on purpose, okay? So keep that in mind. Physical thought absolutely results in termination. Theft of any kind. And I don't think we realize that a lot of theft occurs in this hospital. That includes things like pharmaceutical drugs. I'm just going to take home this extra heart guard and I'm going to give it to my dog or cat. And we've got a bunch of it and no one will notice. You're stealing from the hospital. I don't have any tolerance for that as well. So absolutely theft of any kind needs to be terminated. Working under the influence, vandalism of any buildings or cars or any physical material, severe verbal threats absolutely results in termination. Harassment, racist, religious, sexist, or other discriminatory language or behavior absolutely is intolerable in workplace environments. And then falsification of company records and medical charts. And by the way, I'm going to go back a little bit. Theft of any kind includes documentation. So that includes like if an employee goes ahead and steals your pay structure and then gives it to a competitor while they're still working for you, or even when they're not, you can sue them for that. That's not okay. So that absolutely is considered theft. So theft of medical records, theft of radiology records, all that stuff is not all right. Those things don't occur as much as all the other things that happen in veterinary hospitals. Thankfully, those things are few and far between. But if you are in a leadership role at some point in your career, you're probably going to have to do a quick termination over one of those things. And let me just be very clear. It is hard sometimes to give your empathy to an individual who comes to work under the influence, who then steals money out of their colleague's locker and then gets caught on a camera. That is really hard. But in the end, when we look at it, when we assume good intention, and if those of you have heard me lecture before, I love to teach about assuming good intention. We realize that person obviously has an addiction issue and obviously doesn't feel like they have the money and they have to actually go ahead and steal it. So we can look at that from a reframe, still not appropriate. I still have to terminate you, but I can have empathy doing so. And I'm going to share my empathy with you on your way out very quickly, potentially in handcuffs with the police, right? So these are the offenses that result in immediate termination. The rest of the reasons to terminate, we need to do due diligence before terminations even need to happen. There's these 10 pre-termination questions that I wrote in my second book, Oops, My Team is Toxic. I encourage you, if you have not read that one, to please do so. Because if you're listening to this and you're questioning your termination skills, or if you are an employee in a potentially toxic environment, this is going to help you. I promise you. So here are the 10 pre-termination questions. Have we given this individual polite, kind, and honest feedback on their performance in the past? What does that look like, right? Have we demonstrated to this individual we care about them and their work? And I know some of you are like, Amy, too much rainbows and unicorns and fluffy stuff. You know, people need to just come in and do their job good, and they need to perform well, and I don't need to babysit them. Listen, you're not babysitting. Caring about someone who works for you is important. And in fact, younger generations actually cite that they think the best bosses are the ones who care about them deeply. Now, you can say it's all flip-flaff that you want, but you can either get on board with the caring wagon and actually care about your employees, or we can go about to, I'm the boss and you're the employee and you just do what I'm told, you're told. And I guarantee you, you're not going to have very good working employees because they're constantly going to be looking at you like this person doesn't care about you. So have we demonstrated? What does that look like? You're having routine meetings, not just once a year. You're really connecting with them. Can we be certain that we have been crystal clear in our communication so that they understand what the issue is? Very important, right? Do they even understand the issue? And here's where that second person comes into play in veterinary medicine. Remember, I said there are two groups of individuals that love to join veterinary medicine. One is empaths, and the second one is avoiding communication. Yep, it's an entire person. I'm certain of this. I've got no research, no data, but avoiders love to come into veterinary medicine. And I do think that's true. Like if we look at it just from the surface level, a lot of us connect with animals a lot easier than we connect with people. We gravitated to this industry because we want to work with the animals. And the peopling part of it is very difficult. Peopling's really hard. If I could just not people, that would be amazing. But unfortunately, I have to people all day long. I have to people with clients. I have to people with coworkers. I have to people with my team. Peopling is the most difficult skill. And when we have issues, you know what's the easiest thing to do? Just ignore it, because that's going to make everything better. So yes, veterinary medicine, empaths and avoiders. And it's unfortunate, but we see it an awful lot. So if you are a leader listening to this and you just are like, that's me. I love to avoid conversation. You have to make sure that you have spoken to this person, that they're crystal clear in our communication so that they actually know what the issue is. And don't overly sugarcoat it, you know, putting sugar on poop, it's still poop. I haven't tried it, but I'm confident it's still going to taste like poop. So we really do need to make sure that if, for example, we're telling someone that they're late and they need to come in, it's, hi, what's going on? You don't seem like yourself, and I've noticed that you're starting to come in late. I really need you to come in on time. Done. Instead, we go, hi, I know it's really hard. You've got a lot going on, but I noticed that you were coming in late. I just need you to come in on time. You know how it is. It's just so hard to get out the door, so I get it. But like, yeah, if you can like come in on time, that'd be really great. Avoiding. You got it. You've got to process and manage your communication skills if you're in a leadership role. All right, do they understand the severity of their actions and that termination is a possibility? In the last example just provided, I would guarantee you that person doesn't really think that them coming in late is actually severe and they probably don't care. Do they understand how their performance impacts their team and maybe hindering their growth? Have we as a leader sought advice from others if it was a situation we were not familiar with? Ooh, big one. Accountability leaders. This is huge. You do not need to be the master of every problem. Unfortunately, you're going to come across problems where you're like, I don't know how to handle this person, this situation. I need help. Asking for help is actually one of the biggest strengths of any leaders. Ask for help. Talk to somebody about the situation. Have we truly tried to coach them to our best ability to be more successful and included tools, training, resources for them? Yeah. What have we done to help them become more successful in whatever area it is? Have we provided them reasonable and obtainable goals as part of our coaching efforts? Or have we just said, hey, I need you to just not gossip as much? What the heck does that mean? What does not as much mean or at all? Or what are you defining as gossip? You need to be very specific in how you're going to measure the goals, but also the tools and resources you're going to provide. Have we asked them for input on how to rectify the issue? This is one that leaders often forget. If someone's really negative and, you know, kind of bringing down the team and complaining a lot, we often say things like, hey, I just need you to come in with a more positive attitude. Like that employee is just going to be like, oh, is that it? My bad. I'm sorry. I'm just going to come in with a more positive attitude then. Nope. What's going on? You don't seem like yourself. I care about you. Let's do a deep dive into this. I want to provide you tools and resources to help you get out of whatever negative mental state you're in, right? Have we exhausted all options? That's the last of the 10 pre-termination questions. If we've exhausted all the options, well, then okay. We've come to the decision that yes, we need to terminate. And let me be very clear. There are two types, well, technically three types of termination. One we've already talked about. It's the individuals that have done something intolerable. We cannot tolerate it. They need to be terminated pretty much immediately. They are a threat to life or, you know, the building or whatever it is. They're not okay. They are an absolute threat to the hospital, the welfare, the clients, whatever it is. Okay, termination immediately. The second group of individuals are the people that we have tried to coach. They're the underperformers that we are really struggling with, and we're focusing on trying to develop them and trying to get them over a certain hurdle, and they're just not getting there. And it may be because we just haven't come up with the right tools or resources, or maybe they're just not willing to change. And at that point, we've decided to terminate. And then the third group of individuals, that's tragic. That is not because they've underperformed, and it's not because they did anything wrong. We have to terminate them. We have to let them go because, unfortunately, we have gotten rid of their service. We can't afford to pay them. We are selling our building. We are selling a service. Something like that. That's the worst termination ever. And so how do we terminate with empathy? Okay, so let's dive into that because, again, it is so important because this defines you as a leader. I guarantee you, how you terminate someone, everyone's going to know about it. It doesn't matter if you want to try to control the narrative. Gossip is really strong in vet med. Yeah, that probably could be a third group of individuals. You know what else gravitates to veterinary medicine? Gossipers. It's just a thing. But regardless, if you wanted to go ahead and try to control the narrative, it's not going to happen. So how you terminate someone is going to get around, and those people are going to then look at you and place judgment on you as a leader. So let's dive into how to terminate with empathy. So first and foremost, it seems pretty obvious, that employee, that person needs to know you care and appreciate them. And it's really important that they know that you care about them because it's going to be better received. If I have thought my boss was out to get me, they didn't have my best interests, they absolutely are picking on me because there's not fair systems and processes in place, that when it comes to termination, I'm just going to be bitter and angry. I knew you were going to do this to me. So-and-so also needs to go and also does the exact same things wrong that I do, but you don't care. You only want to pick on me. That doesn't feel good. So this is where getting to know your employees and caring about your employees is really important. And unfortunately, too many managers, too many leaders don't have time to really get to know their employees, to have those sit downs twice a month. And yes, I said twice a month. Ideally, I would love for you to meet with every single one of your team members every week. That's right. I want you to meet with them 15, 20 minutes, just check in, see how they're doing, and connect with them on a human to human level, because that's what it means to care deeply about someone on your team. When we only do annual check-ins, and again, don't get me started. I mean, there's an entire chapter in one of my books that's called Performance Reviews Are the Devil. When we only meet with them once a year, it unfortunately causes irreparable harm because we're just going to go ahead, tell them everything they did wrong, and we're going to judge them a whole year. We're just going to judge them. That doesn't feel good. So caring about them deeply is really important. They need to know you care and appreciate them. And then honestly, from there on out, not that the termination is easy, but it gets easier. So now let's head down story lane, because here's an example of things not to do. So an employee of a hospital that had at times come in late, had some performance-based issues, but overall was a pretty decent employee when they were there, started really struggling because their dog was sick. Their dog unfortunately had end-stage cancer. The hospital was really supportive, but unfortunately this employee continued to come in late and would start kind of making up their own schedule, typing, you know, messages of calling out to their manager and saying things like, hey, that's it, I'm out of here, I can't come in tomorrow, and that's it. Not trying to help any shifts or anything. The manager finally decided, I can't keep doing this. Like, this person keeps calling out of their entire shifts. We've talked to him, this has been going on for a while, it's a real struggle. So here's where you don't want to terminate. This individual's dog passes away, and the next day they receive a phone call that they don't need to worry about coming in for any future shifts because they're getting terminated. Yes, over a phone call, this person got terminated right after the day their dog died. I don't think that defines a leader as very empathetic in that moment, because even though that employee had been late for an extended period of time and it had been going on for months, why do we have to rush to terminate right then and there at one of the most inappropriate times? I mean, basically grandma could have died and the next day we go, hey, guess what? You can spend all the time you want grieving with your family because you're no longer employed. That is not a cause for an empathetic leader. I can't even say it without like sarcastically laughing because it's so bad, but yet it's not just one story I've heard. I've heard multiple of these stories. So we have to think about partially the timing. And They need to know we care about them, and not doing it at a time that is caring is certainly not an appropriate option. Another great example of this, I had an employee that was away on vacation. They actually hadn't taken a vacation in years. They saved up their money. They're in a lovely, you know, having a wonderful vacation. They are on cloud nine. They get home from vacation, and shockingly, an email had been dated 3 days prior while they were still on vacation. And so here they are on the weekend before they're going to return to work on Monday. They open up the email only to find that their department was going to be closed. That essentially it's going to be shut down, it's going to be closing, and that effectively at some point she's not going to have a job. Now, thank goodness she did not open that email while actually on vacation. Can you imagine? But it doesn't matter if you work for a big company or a small company. Why can you not allow someone to come home from vacation and have an in-person meeting? This person received an email stating, hey, your department is going to be closed down. That's it, right? Like, by the way, we're going to have to talk about your job. Okay, that's it. Could you imagine if she had gotten that email and opened it up while on vacation? Luckily, she was in a slightly remote area, didn't have the ability to open up her email, but that would have completely ruined this vacation that she was taking when she hadn't had a vacation in literally years. Again, why cannot that email wait for another week? It's not that pressing. There, at no point do you have to close down a particular department immediately. I can't think of an actual reason why you immediately have to close that down. By the way, here is the tragedy of this. This person showed up for her shift on Monday, and the clients of this particular department wanted to make future appointments. Still, nobody had talked to her about the department closing, the plans, what was happening with her role, or anything like that. Just, hey, your department's closing in an email. And she was telling clients, well, I don't really know. I think I have to check in because I think this department's closing. It took them 3 days to actually have a conversation with her. I mean, talk about avoiders. Again, avoiders, yep, empaths, you're in veterinary medicine, but that is the worst. Do we think that that employee feels like they're cared about and appreciated? No. And again, that particular employee, nothing wrong, just needed to get rid of that particular apartment. It wasn't either producing or there was a staff change, whatever the reason. You can wait until someone comes home on vacation. Don't worry, I have plenty more stories for you of things that not to do that are not empathetic terminations. Okay, so let's continue on about how to be empathetic in your terminations. Not only having the employee feel like you care about them and actually when you do the termination matters, but where you do the termination matters. We've already talked about some really terrible examples. For example, email, that's a no. Now, the only time email is appropriate is, again, let's just say, no, I can't come up with, nope, I got nothing for you. I'm gonna pause. I'm not even gonna edit this part out because no, I got nothing for you. Termination via email, nope. It's a no. Letting someone know that their department is closing via email, nope, that's also a no. I got nothing for you. That's just a really garbage way. So when we're talking about terminating with empathy, it has to be done in person or at least over the phone. You can't be texting someone, yeah, oh my gosh, all right, let's go down another rabbit hole of bad terminations. So I know of an employee who will openly admit she was acting a little cranky. She had a lot going on at home, no excuse. However, at no point did her manager actually voice any concern about her behavior. It was getting pulled aside and saying, hey, you're just not living up to the performance. What the hell does that mean? If you're not familiar with, by the way, go back to bad criticism. I did a podcast on that, and it talks about how to provide good feedback and really bad feedback. This is really bad feedback. Feedback you can do nothing about. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I don't like the way that you look. What does that mean? I can't do anything about that. I'm sorry, your performance isn't living up to expectations. What the hell does that mean? Yet that statement gets said by a lot of managers. What does that even mean? Nobody knows. So anyway, she did say, my manager pulled me aside and talked to me about my performance, but basically said it's not great. And when I asked for clarification, she said, well, you need to be more of a team player. What the heck? come on, people. So already this employee isn't feeling cared about because the manager is unable to communicate what actually needs to be changed and certainly not providing any tools or resources for this particular person. So anyway, she goes home for the weekend, doesn't think anything of it, and she's literally driving into work on Monday morning for her shift. Now, at this point, the last time her manager talked to her was over a month ago. There's been no action plan. There's been no tools or resources. She just knows that she's kind of walking on eggshells, but she's been at this particular hospital for over 5 years. So she assumed that, you know, an empathetic manager would actually at some point, if it was a big deal, sit down and have a more serious and honest conversation about what needed to be improved. Didn't happen. Driving into hospital, she gets a text message and she's driving one of those cars where, you know, like a lot of the smarter cars, the message pops up on your screen and you hit the play button. Sure, I'd like to listen to this message. It goes, "Hey, we don't need you to come in today. You have been fired. You don't need to come in for any of your shifts. We'll send you more information." Okay. So where we terminate and how we terminate is a direct correlation to our empathy towards that particular individual. And maybe the manager was just done, but that manager's a beephole. I mean, they are. I don't care if you're the one listening to this who did that to that particular employee. It's not okay. You definitely didn't care about that person, and that's a direct correlation of your leadership skills. So what ends up happening is that employee's gonna tell everybody, "Hey, I was literally driving into work when I got a text message and I was like, are we serious? Did I just get like spammed or something? And then I just pulled over." They're literally driving a moving vehicle. Does that manager not even care about how they're gonna process that emotionally? What happens if they get in a car accident? I mean, because they're crying hysterically or they are so filled with rage they can't see straight. Like, we need to think about where and how we terminate. And let me be very clear, text messages and emails, they are a no, people. I don't care that it's 2024. Yeah, no, I come up with nothing. There's not a single excuse reason that you can give me that you're going to send a termination through an email or a text message or on social media. So let's dive into that one. So on social media is never appropriate. Do I have a story regarding how someone was actually fired via social media? I do. So this particular employee was absolutely bad-mouthing their hospital on social media. That's not appropriate. But if we go back into our coaching and really caring about people, why is that employee feeling the need to go to social media and really just start bashing their hospital? As we know, anything you put out on the internet, it's not private. If you don't know that, this is the golden rule of the internet. Any image, anything you say, I don't care if you think that the Facebook group is completely closed or that your TikTok is locked down, everybody will find out, I promise you. So here is this employee bashing this particular hospital about how horrible it is and what a terrible workplace and that she might be finding a new job. And that is when her boss actually managed to get to her page and proceed to put in the comments, "Well, you don't need to come in on Monday. You have just been fired." Now, listen, I get it. You're upset with your employee, and especially if you're an owner of the hospital, why? You know, why is this person doing this to you? It doesn't feel good. They're telling others about how they hate your place of employment. I get it. But it's no excuse to be able to go on social media and actually terminate someone. So yeah, I mean, the atrocities are unbelievable in how people terminate. And it's like people just don't care about people. And it is easier to do it through text message, social media. Again, can't even believe I have to say you shouldn't do that. Or actually email, because you don't have to look at the person. And doesn't that feel better for all of us? This is not about you. It is about ensuring the other person is okay to move on and doing it to the best of your ability. All right, so let's continue with how to do it with empathy, and I'm sure I have a few more stories to share. Firstly, terminations should not be a surprise. Again, if it comes back to one of those other atrocities where you have to terminate immediately, they might be surprised, but they shouldn't. They stole something or they spray painted your hospital or whatever. They definitely shouldn't be surprised that you're terminating them. The rest of everybody else, really should not be caught off guard, except for that poor individual who, unfortunately, their department is closing or the hospital's getting sold. That sucks, right? So where we have the actual meeting, when we have the actual meeting, the top two things on terminating with empathy, right? So think about where you're going to do it, how you're going to do it. And remember that terminations are not emergency. You don't have to terminate, even if we're closing a department. We don't have to contact someone on their vacation and let them know the department is closing. That is completely insane. We can wait until they come home from vacation and then let them go. We don't have to terminate them on the day of. I know, by the way, this is a very popular sleazy technique of managers, that when they have an employee going on vacation, they like to terminate them on the day right before their vacation. I'm sorry, that's just garbage. It makes you a garbage manager, and yeah, I'm gonna call it out. To some level, people are like, oh, well, you know, they're taking this time off and now I don't have to pay them. That is just a dick move. I mean, really, those 2 week salaries, even if they say are taking a crazy 3 week salary vacation, it's not gonna make or break your hospital. Don't do that. It's so mean. Let them have a vacation, then come back, because they're a human being and you're about to ruin their life. Yes, you are. You're going to absolutely change the trajectory of their career path, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. The least you could do is let them just go on vacation, enjoy it as if everything's fine, and then when they come back, have a conversation. You can afford to pay those 2 or 3 weeks' salary. It is an absolute dick move to terminate someone on the day they're going on vacation. That's just terrible. It really speaks volumes about who you are as a leader. So anyway, the when and the where, top two things, okay? But leading up to this, our employee knows we care about them. So now we're going to have the actual meeting, you know, in person, face to face. And I guess worst case scenario, over the phone, because they can't come in or you feel like it's better for them not to come in. But we need to verbally talk to them. No digital anything, okay? So we're gonna have the actual meeting. And again, really depends on you looking at who this person is. You really know them. Do they wanna be notified before their shift, on their day off? Do you want them to come in? What does this look like, right? I don't have a perfect answer onto that when. I just know there are some really hardcore no's of when to terminate someone. So let's dive into another fun termination gone horribly wrong. All right, someone is getting married. Yes, that's right. This cannot be any more tragic. Short of a birth of a child, someone is getting married. It is their wedding weekend. They receive a call on the morning of their wedding day, and they are told that they don't need to worry about coming in on Monday. They can take all the time they want for their honeymoon because they have been fired. I mean, that's really terrible. I feel like these bosses, by the way, the ones in this podcast, there should be like some sort of group page, maybe for therapy for the people who've been terminated this way. But honestly, there should just be a horrible ways that you have been fired, like, page, because it's at this point laughable how bad it is. So there she is getting her hair done, ready to get married, and her boss hauls off and fires her. And I quote, her boss told her he was being way more compassionate because he's giving her more time so she doesn't need to worry about her job and she can go ahead and enjoy her wedding day and not have to worry about coming into work because he knew she was concerned with how much vacation time she had. No, you're just a dick. That's just a dick move. You could have waited until Monday or Tuesday. You don't need to ruin her actual wedding day. So yeah, I mean, you know, bosses justify their really horrible behaviors all the time. The reality is it's just shitty behavior. So please don't do that. Please terminate with empathy. Because again, that story is going to go around and everyone's going to know you're the person who fired her on her wedding day, which really, what does that say about you? Yeah, exactly. So when we have the actual meeting, ideally in person, we're going to start off with the bad news. We don't need to try to sugarcoat it. One of the weird things that people do because they're huge avoiders is, how are you doing? What's going on? Well, I just really want to chat with you first. No, just get right to the bad news. The person is probably knowing what's coming down the pipeline. Here's the other thing that makes you terminating with empathy. Allow them to share their feelings or thoughts. Now, I get it. If you think this person's going to go off the rails and go crazy, if they start throwing things, if they start getting really angry, the feelings and the thought sharing stop. We now escort them out of the building. But a lot of times we just say, hey, okay, I need you to pack up your stuff and go. Caring about someone doesn't need to end at terminating them. Let's have that conversation because you just told them that they are being terminated. It's important they are allowed to share their thoughts. Not allowing them to say anything is just simply unkind, and it's going to allow them to just be fuming. They spent, you know, a year or 6 months or 10 years at your hospital as an employee. And yes, maybe all of a sudden something went wrong and they're not a great employee, or you have to go ahead and get rid of their service. Allowing them to share their feelings or thoughts is really important. It's not going to try to change your mind. Like, that's not the point of that, but it allows them to decompress to you what their thoughts are. Stick to your recent performance-based issues. Don't add anything new. That just tell them again why they're being terminated. But regardless, make sure that that employee has the time to go ahead and express themselves. You don't need to defend your decision. You don't need to back out of your decision. Just ask them, are you okay? I do care about you, even if you don't think I do. Are you okay? I want to hear from you, right? That's huge. And you know, the times I've had to terminate people, I remember one very specifically where the employee actually just kept apologizing to me. I know I messed up. I'm really sorry. I understand why you had to do it. I felt so bad at the end of it because I did care so deeply about this employee that at the end of it, I think I was just even more of a mess than she was, because she seemed to totally understand why I needed to let her go. But here I was trying to hold back tears, and I'm like, it's not appropriate if I cry, but I'm not going to back out of this. But yeah, terminating a good employee is by far the worst. And again, that's where, because either a hospital was purchased by a company or a particular department needs to be closed. And that just plain sucks. And at the end of the termination, we really want to thank them and wish them luck. And the reality is, you know, if you are a true empath, if you really do have empathy for another individual, you do wish them luck. It just didn't work out here. You've explained why. And you're going to wish them luck. Most employees contribute to the hospital's success at some point in their career. They didn't come in as, usually, I should say pause. They didn't usually come in as total failures. Sometimes we have bad hires, but most of them have contributed in some sort of beneficial way to that hospital. And I truly want for every single employee that I've ever terminated in my career to find success in another hospital. And whether they believe it or not, I mean, I wish them with good, genuine, you know, caring and kindness, much success. And I then need to process my own feelings. It's a lot to digest when we have to let someone go. And there's, again, good ways of doing it. And I put good in little bunny quotations. You can't see my little air fingers, because it's really, I mean, it's one of the hardest things you ever have to do as a leader. But then there's just darn shitty ways of doing it. And lately I've been talking to a lot of employees about really shitty terminations that they've gone through. And those employees have every right to tell everyone. They're allowed to put their story on social media. They're allowed to warn people to never work at your hospital. They're allowed to do all those things because you terminated them. And for most employees, they're at-will employees. They didn't sign a contract. They didn't sign a non-disclosure. So they can tell whoever they want, and it doesn't look good. And not that you should worry about how you look as a leader, but you should. You really should. Because how your employees view you is a direct correlation on how you treat someone in the final moments of their employment there. So I want you to think about the big key things, right? So if you're an employee who's gone through a really bad termination, I'm sorry, that sucks. That person didn't probably deserve you. And listen, you might not have been the most stellar employee, but it probably wasn't explained to you. You probably weren't given tools and resources. And here's the thing. If you know you aren't a stellar employee, step it up next time, people. I mean, let's face it. We all aren't straight A students all the time. So there are moments in your career where you're like, I could have done a little bit better. I could have shown up on time. I could have been less negative. I could have done this. Don't put how you behave on someone else, own your behavior. Let me repeat that. Don't put how you behave on someone else, own your behavior. So if you realize you're super negative, own that. I was really negative and I might've been the cause of toxicity at this hospital. Yep, own that. Do better next time. That said, how you're treated, that shouldn't happen. If it was a really bad termination and they didn't treat you with the dignity, respect, and the empathy on your way out, super uncool. Because it doesn't matter how terrible you are as an employee, everybody deserves that respect and empathy on their final moments of any employment. If you are a boss listening to this, please don't be like the bosses. Don't terminate someone on their wedding day and justify it by saying, now you've got all the free time in the whole world. Don't justify them right after their dog dies, their grandmother dies, any of those other things. Don't terminate them, you know, right before vacation. Don't decide, hey, you know what? We're going to have to get rid of this department. I really should let her know she's on vacation. I mean, sure, she's coming back in 5 days, but we suddenly have to send her an email while she's on vacation. Thankfully, that employee did not see it. But still, very inappropriate because she saw it on the weekend before she was coming to the hospital. And then it took another 3 more days for someone to inform her of what was going to happen with her department. Super uncool, people. Super uncool. Again, own up if you're in a leadership role that you probably do have huge empathetic skills, but you also like to avoid stuff. So I hope this helps you on Terminating with Empathy by Amy Newfield. I feel like I should have a nice soothing voice, like how to terminate with empathy. Let's be caring and kind and don't do dick-like things. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate all that you do. Keep on being unicorn and check out all my other blogs, vlogs, and podcasts at vetteamtraining.com.